Bring your greetings in the name of Jesus, the one who said in Matthew, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A tremendous invitation that he gives to us. I was blessed by some of Glenn's reflection. I remember so well, seems like yesterday it was 1991 or 92, commissioning for Glenn and Joyce, sitting on the front bench, and these little teenage, if it wasn't even teenage girls, sitting there, and just to realize a little bit of time element, Paul Hollinger was our bishop at that time, and Paul Hollinger is one that is a tremendous blessing to many of us. He has a ongoing testimony that he is long is gone, but he goes on following his foot tracks, whereas Isaac Gaiman and served as bishop for so faithful, and I learned under these men such a privilege, and then I served for a period of time, and Glenn is serving that, and I just want you to know that it's been a real privilege and a blessing. When I reflect at Bradford, there's so many fond memories there. I was asked yesterday, how do we decide to be here? Really gave me a reflection, and we won't go into that except for, well, we took different groups and went, and Paul Hollinger was pretty instrumental in zeroing this down. And a number of years before, I was involved very closely involving the Kossuth congregation and sitting there in a basement and thinking about all this was happening. So it's just a treasure. And my age, you can reflect on that. However, while I'm born in the mid-1900s, I do enjoy children a whole lot. I was wondering if we could have a real short children's meeting. Could the children come up front just for a real short children's meeting? Let's come up front here in front bench, children. Let's have a real quick children's meeting, shall we? It won't take long. There's just an area that I want you to remember. Should I be back here at kind of the Zoom, or can I step down? There's a story in the Old Testament and about Daniel, and we know about Daniel. And Daniel had three friends. I don't know if you have the answer, raise your hand. And Daniel had three particular friends as well. And the three particular friends, their names were? Raise your hand. Very good. Thank you. Again. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were godly people. And Franklin in our class was teaching, kind of what prompted me to this was Franklin was teaching, and part of one of his segments was about self-centered and dying to self so that we could gain to live for Christ. And this is very important, and at your age it's so important that you learn not to be self-centered. And we won't talk a lot about dying to self, but the idea of not our interests, but other people's interests. One of the most important things, and all through life, this will be nothing almost more important than that you learn that other people are more important than I am. And the way we do that is giving deed. There's a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know the story. And who was the king at that time? What was his name? Someone that didn't answer before. Who was that king? Yeah, Nebuchadnezzar, yeah. Very good. Then Nebuchadnezzar was a self-centered person. That's the one we want to zero in just a little bit. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not. And they depended on God. And they depended on God to the level that they said, that doesn't matter what happens. God will be with us, take us from where they're. And they even were thinking, well, even if it really does kill us, we're going to go on home to be with God. And that was their game. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the winning team. Nebuchadnezzar was the loser. He built a big tower and he said, everybody, worship me, and you can, while you do that, you kind of think of me, you know, who I am. And he was a self-centered person. And I want you to get this trip. To always remember, all through life, is a self-centered person is a loser. Okay? I want you to help me a little bit. Let's all say it. That, well, you give me the response. A self-centered person, and you say, loser. Okay? This is really important. Because when you're this age, teenager, no matter where, or granddaddy like me, you learn that a self-centered person is a loser.
And every now and then I have to learn it one more time. But while you learn at a young age that other people are more important than you, and you want to help other people, then it makes you happy. And you're on the winning team. And you're on God's team. Because that's how God says you should be. All right? Are you going to give me the answer? A self-centered person is a...
loser.
Yeah. Are you really serious about that? A self-centered person is a... loser. Always. Every time. No matter how old you get, a self-centered person is a loser. This is really important. At your young age, you can learn this. You have the ability to learn this. That you want to help other people. And some of it starts from helping your little brother or sister, or helping mom and dad, or helping some poor person that needs help. A self-centered person is a loser. Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for these young lives that they will learn in a real way that the self-centeredness is not what you have in mind for mankind, but to do as you said, and you did for yourself. Your life there on the cross died there for mankind, and because of that, we are on the winning team. God, help these young lives to know all through life that the self-centeredness is a loser. God, we just commend them to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may go back.
Well, that lesson fits every one of us. And Franklin brought that out in one segment of his teaching about dying to self. And on dying to self, upon that, is a winning team. This morning I have a message title that I like to rivet in our mind. It is the most important issue at hand. And that is it well with your soul? My friends, there is nothing more important than it's well with your soul. There's nothing more important. We're living in a time in the middle of a storm. Storm clouds seem to be gathering hither and yon. And what are we going to do next? And in the middle of all that storm, the question, single question is it well with your soul? That's so important. No matter how bad the storm clouds come, and what all comes, and the persecution, whatever comes, frankly, we're going to know that the most important thing is it well with your soul. Al Smith, in his book, Stories About Songwriters, he talks about the Mr. Stafford, and you know the story, When Peace Like a River, and he says, it's well with my soul in that song, and you know the storm clouds had gathered for him. He was doing rather well in Chicago, the great Chicago fire was, and he wiped out practically all that he had, and he kind of lost that. And it kind of felt like he was, in the middle of that, he had chosen, wealthy man, he had chosen to send his children, his daughters, to across seas for further education. And as you know the story, he was preparing, they were going, and just ahead of going, he was called to an important meeting that he couldn't go along. His wife and his daughters went ahead. And the daughters were lost at sea. And his wife was survived alone, and used to refer the text message that she sent back home was saved alone. And he wrote the song, "Peace Like a River." When peace like a river, in the middle of that storm, and he said, "It is well with my soul." And today, this morning, we could go on with our stories about our pain, our love, ones dying, suffering, and disappointments, and loneliness, and heartbreaks, and heart cries of friends that passed on, and things that we're told to do and not sure what to do, and those are on. In the middle of all that, at the end of the day, the most important thing is it well with your soul? There's nothing more important. And I want you to rivet this in your mind this morning. And I have 3 points that I'd like to make. We're going to move right along here. And there are 3 points. The first one has 1 point. The second point has 3 points. And the third point has 2 points. So that doesn't sound very systematic, but that's how it works. The first point, the most important is that in is the well with your soul, is that we have God at His rightful place. And I invite your attention to Isaiah 6. Having God in his rightful place. I read Isaiah 6, and it just touches my heart to think about what the setting is actually taking place. Isaiah 6. And in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his truth filled the temple, and above it stood the seraphims, each one has six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, Holy, 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 the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved as the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips, and mine eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched my lips, and this, thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And then also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell the people. That reading that puts God in his proper perspective. And that the whole question is, well, with your soul, a first key thing is to have God in his proper perspective. And you in your proper perspective. We are subordinated under God. We are an unclean people. We are undone. And we need Jesus Christ as our Savior. And that is the only way we become a place where we can say, I will go and serve our Master. So again, our first point is so important. Just a few other verses that you don't need to turn to them. But Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with thy right hand of my righteousness. Do you believe the Bible or don't you believe the Bible? God, is it well with your soul? When we know we can take this, and it's God's hand that actually leads us. It's God's hand. Verse 13, For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, and saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. So in the middle of this storm, God in his right place, and God is in control, by the way. Never let go of that fact. And the storms are so raging, we sometimes almost wonder. And the call is for us, as Matthew 3:2 is, Repent. Repent. That's a call for mankind, is to repent. And if you're repentant and living that, it is well with your soul. And you have that in proper perspective. Repent is that of an implication of the whole alteration of the mind. And a change, a judgment, a disposition. Because it is well with our soul. Romans 13 is a reminder of where time in which we live. Romans 13:11. And that knowing the time that now is, it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Verse 14, And put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provisions for the flesh, for the fulfilling of the lust thereof. That's the call for us. And we do those steps as well with our soul. And by the way, time is far spent. We are moving right along, my people. We're moving along the pathway at 60 heartbeats a minute. A high speed. Is it well with your soul? Our second point is that of, I'd like to just look at some practical areas that it reflects because it is well with our soul. These are some things that we do. There's so much we could go. I just picked out four particular points. And first one is John 14. A very familiar verse. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said, we don't know. The Lord said, we don't know the way, and we don't know whither thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the light. And no man comes unto the Father but by me. That's a gospel message that we have, my friends. That nothing else has to take, everything else has to take second place to it. That overrules. And so when it's well with our soul, mind you, God's saying, don't be troubled. What, God? Don't be troubled. All these things are going on. Within the last month, this is two of my closest friends. It's just unbelievable in a short period of time. My good friend Jake King, strong man, and only about 10 days ago, my good friend Jake Stoff, who's an old order Amish, a long time friend of mine, we did so many things in starting Amish groups. Wednesday, he gasped for breath and called for help, until Friday he was all over from a stroke. And going there, those viewings and funerals, don't let your heart be troubled. What, God? What did you say? Well, we're not as those without hope. We, a certain amount deep inside, we smile because we know where those brothers are. And we know those friends. We have many of us have affiliations and friends. But don't be troubled. It's okay. It's okay. Why is it okay? Because it's well with your soul. Jake came, he was dying breath. Very conscious right to the very end. He said, it's all under the blood. And he scooped his masks, oxygen away, and said, I don't need this anymore, taking his last breath. He really doesn't need it. Don't let your heart be troubled. Really, God? Really? It's okay. And if it's well with your soul, it's all okay. Our Heavenly Father said that I am going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come again, and that where I am, you could be with me. Now I'll tell you, that's a reunion. No, don't be troubled. It's okay. It's well with our soul. It's okay. And so into the middle of tears, I say, it's okay. And don't be troubled. Again, we're looking, our second point is areas that how we live. John 12 reminds us that Jesus answered, saying unto them, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. It was his crucifixion. The Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And he that loveth his life shall lose it. And we were learning that in our Sunday school lesson. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, that where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Are you interested in being honored by the Father? It is well with your soul. You're in that category. That's the category we're in. Just a marvel at God. Oh, I had so many children's meetings came to my mind this morning when I saw these children. And one of those is one kernel of corn goes in the ground and it dies. And we develop 1 ear of corn, 700 to 800 kernels. One kernel had to die, 700 to 800 kernels. When we was looking at being a farmer, I see these crops across over this last month and a half, tremendous amount of crops. When you plant 1 acre of corn, you use 30,000, 32,000 kernels. Two-thirds of a bushel, physically this much. And you put that in 1 acre, and when that harvested time comes, as it was in the last weeks, we harvest 250 bushel off of that. Just the yellow kernels. 30,000, 32,000 kernels, two-thirds of a bushel. 250 bushel. To put that in perspective, that's a fourth of a tractor trailer load. 30,000 kernels. You got to die to be able to bear fruit. That's so clear. So clear. And if we don't learn at this age, to die to self and not be self-centered and realize that's a loser, we're going to go through life with a terrible nag on our shoulders. And God, help us to repent if we're living that self-centeredness. A second point of a little bit of guidance, I'd like to go to Matthew 25. If we have, I'm going to just make some reference to it because we know it so well. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, and He shall sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from the another. The shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats, and He shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come unto me. And you know the setting? He says that what you did is brings you come unto me. It was well with their soul. And He said, what you did was so right. And they said, well, when did you do that? When did that happen? And the answer was, when you lived your normal life as a born-again believer. That's just how you lived. You did it under the least of these. And they didn't really think about it. And I call this to us, that we're doing it under the least of these, unaware, unknown, unthought. And of course, in the other group, saying that we would have loved to have that chance. We just didn't have that opportunity. And He said, but it was too late. It was too late. Is it well with your soul? Are we living that setting? To serve others and die to self. That makes so much pain for so many people because they're looking to be self-served. And we find joy and a smile in serving because it brings peace. Acts 20 is not to no avail. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus knew that Himself. He's a perfect example. He shows us all that. Won't go into that much further. I'd just like to commend you as a congregation. I know just briefly of some of the things that happened. But that is to do under the least of these. Things like projects that we do and we'll never know who it was for. We'll never know who was recipients. Joyce's mother is 93 years old and she sits there day after day and knits caps. She works on a strip cap, a knit cap, okay? It's a little Dutch in me in that mid-1900s. Then she does that. And so, the gains that the organization, they get it. Where does it go? She'll never know who it's from. She's doing it through the least of these. And I'm saying, am I sure that I'm serving just the least of these? That's what a blessing. We have opportunities. CAM is in our doorstep. I was just at SMBI board meeting on Friday evening before we came up here yesterday morning. And it was just one more time had to shake our heads at the amount of support and things that happened. Somebody's giving to people that they don't even know. And we're just so blessed by the means that are there. Organizations and missions that are happening. We're mentioning one of them here this morning. Franklin mentioned the testimony. That man would not be there had it not been for somebody. Somebody sharing themselves. Because it's well with their soul. That's just how they live. That's just how we live. And I want to encourage you with that. One of the things that there at Faith we do is meals for mothers, newly mothers, and sometimes adverse settings. And I don't know how often I heard Joyce say, well, they passed the paper around, but it got to me, it was full. That's how it ought to be. We're waiting in line. We're waiting in line to serve others. And Matthew 25 says, as He did, and so I'm not a works person, by the way. Whether you believe that or not, or think that by now. But because we know Jesus and having God in His rightful place, it's an outwork of that. That's what we do. Well, the third point that I want to make in our second point, a third highlight, bullet point that I want to make is I'd like to read a few verses from 1 Timothy 6 and let them speak for themselves. You are wealthy people. I don't know whether you know it or not, but check world over, and you're wealthy people. We have so much. We are such a small percentage with so much. And there's a little bit of warning for you. So a little bit of warning for us. 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate it. And it's either not missing it, or read over too fast, not being high-minded, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. Sometimes we get alarming about finances. What does it do? Well, not until we fall into the snare of putting our trust in the riches. Because of not putting our trust in the riches and trust in the Almighty God, the one who gives richly, it can be well with our soul. And he says, there's probably only a few Dutchmen here, but Ken Hoogmoed, no pride. Just, it's, we give. And another version gives it as that, the New King James, I believe it is, says, ready to share and be generous. And we ought to be a generous people. And we know it's well with our soul as we have opportunity to do that. Again, I want to commend you as a congregation, offering numbers that are given. We're giving because we care and we want to support. Our third point is that of our final destination, and there's two of them, and that's heaven or hell. My friend, that's why it's important that is it well with your soul, because we are going to pick a destination, because whether it's well with our soul or not. Revelation 21, so familiar. Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, come down from God out of heaven and prepared for the bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and we will dwell with them, and they shall be their people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death and sorrow or crying, or there shall be no more pain, no more. The former things are all passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto you him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. If it's well with your soul, he is our God. As we read in Isaiah 6, the Almighty, Holy God that he is, and who we are his son. We are cuddled under the wings of an Almighty Master. This is why it is important, as well with your soul. We must read verse 8. And the fearful and the whoremonger, and the abominable and the murderers, and the abominable and the whoremongers here, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire, and the brimstone which is the second death. Is it well with your soul? Is it important? We can be that of the wonders of it all. When the roll is called up under, would it be well with your soul? It was James Black up in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. One particular day, he was hurrying to the post office, and he scurried across a shortcut in a back dark alley to get a little more time. And he came across a young girl that was there sweeping the porch, rather tattered and weary, a young little girl. And he stopped long enough to ask her, do you go to Sunday school? And she said, I don't have clothes to wear, nor am I fit to go to Sunday school. And James Black heard that. And he summoned his wife and some other ladies, and they brought her sufficient attire, and so that she felt ready for Sunday school. And she came to Sunday school so faithful, and little Betsy was always there. Every morning, Sunday morning, she was there, and she answered the roll call. And then one morning, James Black had the roll call, and Betsy didn't answer. And it went through him, what has happened? It is her father again mistreating her. Did he not let her come? As hurriedly as he could after the service, he hurried by the alley and found Betsy was ill and lying in bed. He summoned his doctor, and the doctor to find out that she had advanced case of pneumonia. An advanced case of pneumonia, and only with that heavy load, he went to his group later on, and he couldn't think of a song that would be fitting for that, to remind them how Betsy, with a few days, Betsy died. And at the funeral, James Black, before the funeral, was so moved that he sat down without any pause and wrote, "When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved on earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." Question is, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there if it's well with your soul. The most important question in the middle of all the storm. I know that we often, from time to time, talk about that we don't become Christians because of the fear of hell, because of the joy of working with Jesus and being a child of His and the joy that we have of that. But let me tell you, the other is true as well. And I'd like to touch that just a little bit this morning. Hell is real. It's a writing on my desk for many years, but I've used it a few times. Hell, the prison house of despair. Here are some things that won't be there. No flowers will bloom in the banks of hell. No beauties of nature will be we love so well. No comforts of home, music or song. No friendship of joy will be found in that throng. No children to bring the long weary night, brighten the long weary nights. No love, nor peace, nor one ray of light. No blood-washed soul with face beaming bright, no loving smile in the region of night, no mercy, no pity, no pardon, no grace, no water. Oh God, what a terrible place! The pangs of the lost no human can tell. Not one moment of ease, there's no rest in hell. Hell is a prison house of despair. Here are some things that will be there. Fire and brimstone are there, we know. For God, in His Word, has told us so. Memory, remorse, suffering and pain, weeping and wailing, and all in vain. Oh, blasphemers, swears, haters of God, Christ rejectors, while here on earth strud, murderers, gamblers, drunkards, and liars, will all have their part in the lake of fire. The filthy, the vile, the cruel, and the main, what a horrible mob in hell will be seen. Yes, more than humans on earth can tell are the torments and woes of eternal hell. Catherine Dangle. Most important question this morning, in the middle of the storm, what's going on around us? Is it well with your soul? Is it well with your soul? When the great plants of cities shall have turned out their last finished work, and the merchants have sold their last order and dismissed every last tired clerk, when our banks have raked in their last dollar and have paid out their last dividends, when the judge of earth says close for the night and calls for a balance, what then? When the choir has sung its last anthems and the preacher has voiced his last prayer, when the people have heard their last sermon and the sound has died out in the air, when the Bible lies closed on the altar and the pews are all empty, and then, when each one stands facing his record and the great book is opened, what then? Is it well with your soul? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for these, my friends, this morning, and the blessing they've been to my life, and the blessing they've been to a community here. And Lord, the stammering question that you have for all mankind, is it well with your soul, is ours this morning, just to double check here at home that it's well with our soul. I pray, God, that anyone that's not well with their soul knows that we can take the steps to your word, as we were reminded this morning in devotion, that your word is the truth. And your word is a guide for all of life. And no error will be found there. So God, show us and help us to know that's well with our soul. I thank you again for your word and the surety and the soundness that will be, always was, will be, and forever will be. God, we just commend this message and your word to you for the working that the Holy Spirit can do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Turn in your Zion's praises to Psalm number 638. 638.